What is going on, my real estate investing friends? I wanted to jump in here and tell you thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I seriously hope that it brings you an insane amount of value in order for you to be able to crush it in your marketing for your active real estate investing business. This show is specifically here to educate real estate investors on amping up their marketing. So more than likely, if you're listening to this show, you are either already an active investor or you're wanting to jump in, you're doing a little bit of educating for yourself. So if you're either of those and you enjoy this show, you're gonna wanna subscribe to the REI Marketing Weekly Email Newsletter. Yes, I know that's a mouthful, but it is totally worth it because that's where this show kind of derived from. And in that newsletter, it's 100% value content and it's got four segments in each newsletter that goes out every single Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time about crushing it in your real estate investing business marketing. We have segments where I myself give a marketing tip. We have a segment for a marketing update or a how-to. So if there's something that's new on like Facebook or a new algorithm for Google or something like that, we talk about that, or there's a new platform that comes out. We also do a lot of how-tos. And then we have a segment specifically for somebody that is in an active real estate investing business, crushing it in some form of their marketing efforts. And that's where this show comes in. So we're literally stripping the audio from that interview and putting it into this show. So there's that segment on the email newsletter. And then there's a segment specifically for a tool or a resource that you're able to use in your marketing. So in order to get to this, go to colormedia.com/subscribe, colored spelled C-U-L-L-E-R. So colormedia.com/subscribe. Make sure that you do that. Do not miss out on it because it's a great newsletter, 100% value. There's no selling in there. And you guys are going to learn so much from that. It's just an extension of this podcast and for you guys to be able to go deeper into your marketing and get all these little tips here and there that are going to help you stand out in your market. So again, thank you so much for listening to this show. Make sure that you share it around with your friends. I seriously appreciate it. If you do, leave a review if you're able to, and then I hope you enjoy. Let's get started with today's Who's Crushing It segment. Let's go. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly Show. Man, I'm excited to have our guest on the show today, Stephen Passavento. Did I pronounce your name? Passavento? Is that the accurate?
Passavento.
Passavento. Okay. So I was very, very close, just like a vowel off, right? But man, I'm excited to have Stephen on the show. This is another person that I have never actually met before in person. We actually just met on the Zoom call as soon as you jumped on here. So virtually met. But we have an insane amount of things in common with each other, especially, you know, the friends that we hang out with, a lot of people that we know, and obviously is in the real estate investing industry, and got a lot of awesome stuff going on. I know one thing that you guys will definitely need to check out, and I'll give him the opportunity to kind of link that at the end of the show here, but the Investor Mindset Podcast. I've actually heard a couple episodes and absolutely love it. I think it's something that you guys definitely need to check out. Stephen here has got a lot of great content going down. So today we're going to be talking about a lot more. So again, this is another episode that's being recorded while I'm quarantined at home. I'm not able to travel to my clients this week. Next week, I'll be driving out to several clients and that'll be fun because normally I'm on planes and don't drive, but recording a bunch of episodes this week. So this is kind of what the driver of this topic was about. I posted on Facebook asking who's crushing it in virtual wholesaling, and Stephen was tagged a couple times. And so I reached out to him and I was like, dude, let's get you on the podcast and talk about this. So Stephen is in Denver, Colorado, and virtually wholesales in a couple different markets. So Stephen, I'm going to shut up and allow you to introduce yourself. So do me a favor for the people who don't know who you are, what you do, and a little bit about yourself and the origin story of Stephen Passavento.
Yeah, absolutely. So Stephen Passavento here, definitely excited, grateful that you guys are listening. And thank you, Josh, for everything that you're doing out in the world. Love, love, love what you're putting together. It's amazing to be here. So my background is, you know, I started in real estate investing just about 3 years ago. So it's just 3 years ago. And in those 3 years, I've done over 200 deals, quite a few of them full-blown flips, about 75, 80 flips, and the rest of those have been wholesales. And almost everything that I've ever done has been direct to seller. I've only bought one property from a real estate agent, and ironically, it's the home that I'm living in now, and it was a deal. And I thought, no way I'm going to find a deal on the market, and a hustling real estate agent went and found it for me. But you know, when I was getting started, I didn't really know anything. I didn't know how to go find deals. I didn't know how to get started. I just was like, hey, I am going to do this. I'm going to find a way. And I was actually, you know, making attempts at getting started when I was living in Southern California. I had sent some mail. I had done some
That's a good place to start, right? Southern California.
It's definitely a tough market. And, you know, 3 years ago, it was extremely hot. And it's still hot. But, you know, I had sent out 3,000 mailers and I had spent, you know, $1,000 or something like that. And it was a big chunk of my money. I didn't have a lot of cash at the time. And I got 12 phone calls. And so very quickly, I started looking around, well, where else can I market to? What other markets, you know, do I think I could find a great return? Can my marketing dollars go farther? And, you know, so I put together a list and I decided to just jump in. And Raleigh, North Carolina was that first place, and you know, virtual wholesaling and flipping houses ever since.
That's awesome. So I know you also invest in Minneapolis, you said, right?
Yep.
Okay. So those are pretty different markets, going from LA to Minneapolis to Raleigh. I mean, we're talking about like three completely different parts of the country. So one of the ways I want to kick off this episode here is asking you, is there a difference in the marketing? Like maybe it's the actual money that you're throwing out in marketing. Maybe it's the actual strategies. So the channels in which you do market, is there any difference between when you're doing virtual marketing? Obviously, I mean, most marketing is virtual, but between those three drastically different markets, I mean, what's the mindset going into that?
I think at the end of the day, at the end of the day, they're very different markets. Excuse me for 1 second.
No problem.
We've been self-quarantined.
you don't got coronavirus, do you?
hopefully not. But if I do, no one else is going to get it. So
that's right.
So the difference between marketing in LA versus Minneapolis versus Raleigh, North Carolina, or anywhere in between, every market's got their own dynamic. People communicate in a different way. People have different cultural expectations,
right,
and people move at a different speed. And so one of the real big things you guys got to be thinking about when you go to a new market is, what is that culture like? Are people who are going to quick to react? Are people getting hit with marketing at a high volume and a high level? And so when I was marketing in LA in Orange County, you know, sending out 3,000 letters and getting 12 phone calls was the typical expected response rate from marketers in that area. I talked with folks, people were telling me, hey, this is what's expected. And so I had to make a decision. Do I have enough money in marketing dollars to equate to being guaranteed to get a deal to get the ROI on it? And I didn't. So I looked to an outside market and I went to Raleigh. And Raleigh at the time, it's extremely competitive now, but 3 years ago, it was much less competitive. And, at the time, I would send out a mailer and I would get 3 or 4 times the response that I would get in North Carolina or in LA, right? And so, but the difference was people moved slower in North Carolina. You know, it could be just the state, it could be the people that I was talking to, but most likely it's the culture of the South, and that people just aren't really moving at the same rate. They're not thinking to themselves, hey, I've got to take care of this today. Everybody moves slower. So I had to adjust to that, and we had to adjust to that in the way that we're marketing. And, you know, I'm from Minneapolis, so I knew the culture very well, but it's very similar there. People are, you know, very savvy. People are, it's one of the highest education populations of educated people to home ownership. So the people there are very different to talk to than somebody in rural North Carolina. So, you know, every market is different. And when you're marketing, you're going to have to first get in touch with those people, understand what's going on in their head. What are they thinking? What are their expectations? And you're going to have to adjust your marketing to fit that.
So I love this conversation because, like, I know a lot of people, they'll get into marketing. Maybe they just started off with real estate investing and they just jumped into this game, or maybe they've been doing it for a while, but they want to go into different markets and they just throw like a 50,000 mail piece campaign out there just to feel for it. Now, I think that's, you know, that could be done and done correctly just to feel out what the market's going to respond to. But at the same time, I think this is so important when it comes to not just marketing, but the actual business side of things is like understanding what you're going to get yourself into by analyzing and studying, like you're saying, the culture, it's your target demographic. That's who you're studying. Mm-hmm. And this is marketing 101, guys. Before you go into any market, and you can ask any experienced investor that has gone into a virtual market, especially, like one of the first things that you got to do, they tell it, like I ask people this question all the time. One of the first things they tell you is go to your local meetups and meet everybody there and make some good connections. And then the next one is drive through your neighborhoods and learn the streets, learn the neighborhoods that you're going to invest in. And I think that's extremely important, because marketing 101, know your audience, know your target demographic, know them almost better than they know themselves. And when you're in three drastically different markets like that, that is so key and so vital to understand. So I'm glad that you brought that up. I think that's awesome. So when it comes to doing virtual deals, in order to keep that pipeline like replenished at all times, what are some things that you're currently doing in order to bring leads to the door and adapt to the different markets as well? Maybe you're doing different things in different markets, if you want to talk about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. So to be clear, I'm not investing in LA. I totally stopped. I live in Denver. I do not invest in Denver currently, although I do have an interest in it, but I'm a big believer in focus, right? And so one of the mistakes that I made was going into two separate markets at the same time. I think that was a mistake because they're very different places. They're far apart, and scaling a team, you're not getting that economies of scale in that local area. So I went that direction. I learned from that. I'm still, you know, operating there because I've got a great database and we're still working those leads. But what I'm doing now versus what I was doing even a year ago or 6 months ago or 2 or 3 years ago is very different, right? We were doing very high volume, 100,000 mailers a month to high equity lists, you know, in our area. And we were hitting folks just consistently on a regular basis. And we were getting a pretty good pull on that. Now, what we saw was as more and more people jumped into this game called real estate, called wholesaling, called flipping, we saw a lot more competition happen. We also saw the buyers or the sellers in our area get a lot more savvy in the sense that they are
They know what's going on,
but they also believe that their house is worth more than it actually is. And so there's a little bit of a combination of what was happening in LA, what I was seeing then, and it took 2-3 years for that to catch up in those other markets. Yeah. And now this is just the standard thing across the country. And so where we're focused on now, for the first 2 years, we were focused on 100% volume-based wholesaling. We were going out, you know, or flipping. We're going out, we're trying to buy as many properties as we can, and we were shooting for, you know, 15 to 25% margin, and we were making our money by doing a lot of deals. Now we've shifted our focus to profit-based model, where the most important thing to us is that margin at the end of the day. We still have to hit a certain number of deals every single month for things to make sense, to be able to pay for the team, to be able to pay for marketing. But what we're doing now is we're focused on how can we earn our way to these deals in a more effective manner, rather than just dumping into channels that were no longer working. We're opening up new channels that take a little bit more effort, but we're seeing better return overall. And so right now we're focused on what you could imagine, what a lot of people are, text messaging and cold calling. But what's different for us is that we have been in the market for a while. We've been working with these clients and we have a good reputation in our area, so that when we give somebody a call and they happen to be ready to go, we're out at their house right off the bat, whether that's an in-person meeting with one of our acquisition managers, or whether that is a phone call where we're actually just getting pictures or making offers over the phone. We're working them through our process and we're getting them to sign a contract right then and there on the phone. So it's a little bit of a shift from what we were doing, but really it came down to what we wanted to build and why we wanted, you know, to be going after this thing that in the current market, maybe volume wasn't the key, and we just wanted to go get those deals that really made the most sense.
Okay, so then let's stay on that track, because that's a very interesting conversation too. And you skimmed over it a little bit, just the adjustments that you made. So what I really want to go deep into is maybe it could be even the messaging that you put out in the actual like marketing campaigns that you did with the cold calling, with the text message marketing when you were still doing mailings. What kind of adjustments did you make when you decided you want to move away from volume-based wholesaling over to the higher quality leads that are going to make you more money? Like, was there a difference? Was there a shift in the marketing that you put out because of that? Or did you just keep chugging along the same way?
I mean, the messaging has been the same. We will buy your house, right? You know, at the end of the day, you know, the adjustment is when we're talking to somebody and we're interrupting them in their lives and we're talking to them on a cold call or we're sending them a text message. It's asking them, have you had a thought about selling? Is this something you've considered? Right. And we don't care if they say no, that's okay. We're going to follow up with them at some other point to interrupt them in their lives to ask them that same question again. But what is most important to us is that when they say, yes, I have had a thought, I'm not really motivated, or I don't want to sell right this second, but I'm thinking about it at some point, is then we go into nurture mode, which is part of our follow-up process, regardless of whether we were doing high volume or low volume, is that we are really focused on, hey, we're going to nurture this lead. Once we get them in our database, we're going to stay in touch with them. We're going to send them follow-up text messages. We're going to send follow-up phone calls. We're going to be that person who's always there so that when they have that moment of saying, hey, now I'm ready, we've already built that relationship and we've nurtured them to the point where they're ready to say, hey, yes, you're the person, you're the company that I want to work with because, you know, so-and-so has been talking to me for so long and she's been so helpful. And, you know, even it wasn't pushy, but when it really came down to it, then they're ready to say, yes, we've essentially built that connection to them.
This is huge. So I got to cap this off for you. And I'm so glad that you explained that whole nurturing process. That was going to be my follow-up was like, what's your nurturing process? A lot of people think that like I've had guests on the show that have said this, and I've said this many times, but a lot of people think that there's a magic number for the follow-up, right? That you got to hit them 7 times and you'll get the deal. Like that's so false. Like they are going to sell you the deal when they are ready to sell you the deal. Now, the key is to be there at their front doorstep when they are ready to sell the deal. And how do you do that? You do that by nurturing the leads, just like you're talking about here, and not bugging them, not being a pushy salesman, like sell me your house, like you're just letting them know that you're there when they are ready to sell. I love that you brought that up. And I think that is so key for people to understand.
I think it's so key as well. And just to like break it down really simply for the audience, when we're marketing to a prospective seller, what we're really thinking to ourselves is how can we be in front of that prospect when they have a buying decision, when they have an event in their life that encourages them to say, yes, it's time for me to buy. And so when I was sending direct mail and we were hitting somebody every single month, for months and months or years and years, that's what we were doing. We were showing up at their door and we're showing up and we're saying, hey, are you interested? Oh, you're not in the garbage. Oh, are you interested? Oh, you're not in the garbage. And then when they'd actually pick up the phone and call, it might've been 10, 15, 20, mail pieces that hit them before they finally said yes. And it wasn't because we sent them 20. It was because we showed up at the right moment. And so that's all we're doing, whether we're talking about at the front of the funnel where we're getting leads in, or whether we're talking later on in our follow-up sequence when they've moved farther down that funnel, is being able to show up at that moment when they're thinking to themselves, hey, I need help with X. And now we can really serve that customer in that position right then and there.
Yeah, man, that is so valuable. That's a huge nugget. And I hope you guys like seriously took that in consideration because this is a big downfall. I think a lot of real estate investors that are doing active marketing fall into is they don't look at the follow-up in this kind of manner. They look at it as a sales process when really it's just marketing and it's a customer experience process. It's that nurturing the lead before they pull the trigger. It's dating them essentially. You're dating your audience, you're dating your target demographic. And then all of a sudden, you know, when they're ready to go in for the kiss, they're going to kiss you. So, that's exactly the way I look. But that was, I appreciate you sharing all that. Now I got to wind this down. I told you I would keep it short and sweet. Appreciate everything you shared so far. Definitely going to have you back for a round two at some point soon. Cause we got to talk more about nurturing these leads. I think this could be an hour long conversation we could go into. But is there anything that you, maybe didn't talk about that you want to leave on the table for the audience here? Talking about marketing, it could be anything that we've talked about or maybe something that we haven't, skimmed over yet. Anything that you want to share marketing wise for these active real estate investors?
Well, here's what I want to share, just leaving you guys here, is that we're going through a very uncertain time and businesses are changing, and that's phenomenal. right? Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal that things are changing. That doesn't mean things are good, but that doesn't mean that the change is going to be good. But the reality is that we just have to step up and accept it. And so I really believe, and I've been a big believer in this for a long time. That's why I run a podcast called The Investor Mindset. That mindset is one of those key pieces that without having the right thoughts and beliefs, none of the strategies that you're going to learn are going to make any difference because you're not going to actually take any action. So what I encourage you guys to do during this kind of a time and really any time is to make sure that you're getting those thoughts and beliefs in order, that you are really setting yourself up to start thinking like a marketer, to go and find people like Josh, like myself, like others who are doing this and asking them those questions. Well, how are you thinking about this? Why are you doing it like that? What's going into this? And what you're going to hear from them, you're going to hear what's going on in their mind. You're going to hear about how they think about dealing with challenges, going and finding leads, nurturing, all these things. And then you yourself can step into that identity and say, hey, well, what would Josh do? What would Steven do? How would he handle this situation? And you can essentially step in, put on that cake, put on the costume of that other person, and you can show up and start leading your team using those strategies without actually having to be that expert yet. You just have to think to yourself, well, how would they handle this? And I promise you, it can be really valuable. So if you guys have found this valuable, I really encourage you to check out The Investor Mindset because it's something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to be able to lay that out there. So talk about what people just, you know, minute, 2 minutes that we got here, talk about what people can expect on your podcast. And then guys, I will make sure to have all the links for the podcast in the description below. So make sure you check that out, but tell us what people can expect on the podcast.
Yeah. So the podcast is really focused on how do really successful people think? What do they believe? And how do those thoughts and beliefs end up leading into the actions that they take every single day? So, you know, when I'm interviewing Don Costa and he's sharing some of the experiences of losing, you know, millions of dollars and how he thinks about moving forward.
It's crazy.
He's the kind of person that I want to be looking to when there's crisis going on. Yeah. We're talking to Mark Kenny and he is a multifamily investor and he's been doing incredible things and growing so quickly. I want to be thinking, how does Mark think and how can I apply this to my life? And so, you know, people like Chris Voss and Jay Papazan and all these great folks who've been on the show, we're able to really dive in to their mind and then we're able to take those strategies that they're using in their business, whether it's investing or some other kind of negotiation or sales training along the way. And you guys can start doing that in your businesses as well.
That's awesome, man. That's good stuff. So I will make sure to have all the links for the show below, guys. So make sure you check that out in the description. Steven, I appreciate everything you shared. Besides the podcast, I do actually want to give you the opportunity to have the audience reach out to you personally if they have questions or want to get in contact with you. Maybe you have you on their show or whatever. What's the best way to get in contact with you, whether that's Facebook, email, phone number, whatever you want to get out?
Yeah, absolutely. I would head over to at steven.pesavento on Instagram. And Josh is going to have that in the show notes here. So you can just click right down and shoot me a DM, shoot me a message, you know, and happy to help along the way. You can also find me on Facebook, drop me a message there. Love to hear any love from folks and love to help people who need some help.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, guys, that'll be all linked in the description. Make sure you connect with them. Tell them that Josh sent you and you'll get well taken care of, right? Okay, so Steven, man, I appreciate you being on the show for real. This has been awesome. You've shared a lot of great and valuable nuggets and definitely going to have you back again soon. So thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode of the REI Marketing Weekly Podcast. And I appreciate you jumping on. If you haven't already, make sure you have subscribed to the podcast. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. Would much appreciate that. Reach out to me, josh@colormedia.com, if you have any questions. And then a brand new platform that's gone out really quick, I want to explain this, is REI.video. So this is a product by Color Media. It's a place where you can film your own videos, whether that's on your phone, camera, whatever. Maybe it's a testimonial video. Maybe it's a walkthrough of a property or an ad video. You're filming your own videos, and then you don't want to do the heavy lifting. So send it over to REI.video, which is the editing platform. So we'll edit it. Unlimited revisions. You get the exact video that you want and we send it right back to you. This is a platform specifically for real estate investors to get their videos edited because content marketing and video content marketing is the dominating force in today's marketing. So make sure you go check it out. Use code FIRSTVID on checkout and you'll get 50% off your first order. So make sure you check it out. So that's going to do it for today's episode. We appreciate you jumping in and joining us today and we'll catch you guys on the next one. See ya.